iHeartRadio app.
Friday, 5 p.m. How about that? Made it through another week, folks. Congratulations. As we like to say, it's the happiest of happy hours.
It's a double happy hour.
Time for American Hit Radio. Could that be a triple happy hour?
Whoa.
We're going to be with you for the next hour with our Friday show, which we call How Music Changed on Fridays, since we go incredibly deep onto a variety of topics. And in some cases, staying on a topic for as long as a year and then moving on to something completely different. This show today is part of our series dedicated to the Kinks, the fabulous British rock and roll band that came through during the British invasion and managed to hang on for quite a while. This is show number 28 dedicated to the Kinks. Incredible. And we are in the mid-70s, that part of their career. We could say specifically the album that we are covering was released in late 1975. In my opinion, this is not a classic Kinks album, and I should not say that before my own show because I automatically would make turn people off to what it is that I'm trying to basically say. You should be ready to enjoy yourself and hear something special. But we are being completists here. And just because I say it, the band has a very, very different opinion than I do about this album.
You know what they say about opinions.
Right.
Everyone has one.
As do I. But I think, maybe some of these songs will speak for themselves. And there certainly is enough, at least a fair amount of decent material on the record called Schoolboys in Disgrace. That's the album that we will be covering. Now, this marks the end of the Kinks' run of theme albums. Now, the cover of this album, Schoolboys in Disgrace, certainly wasn't going to win any awards. And to be honest, as I said, I feel like the material was subpar as well, especially for a band that as consistently excellent as the Kinks were. Now, for a variety of reasons, most of them personal, this era, which is to say the mid-70s, surely qualifies as the least productive in the band's 30-year tenure. Although, as I said, I think they disagree with me strongly on that statement. This album ends the phase that was based on Ray Davies' self-indulgent songwriting, dancing uncomfortably between maintaining a vague storyline and simply rocking out, which is what I think the rest, with Ray writing his previous albums, especially the three-part series that we had covered a couple days ago, his brother Dave just couldn't take it anymore. Said, "We've got to do some rock and roll. I'm gonna go nuts." So the band was overdue for a change. Schoolboys in Disgrace. This album works more like a purge, which ending a very confusing era while paving the way for another more lucrative phase. So, if we're going to be talking about this,
you're going to let one of the boys do the talking?
Yes, I'm going to let Ray talk about this as he sees it, because, like I said, it's significantly different than my own opinion. Because later in 1975 came the follow-up to Preservation, Schoolboys in Disgrace, which was set in a secondary school that had a sadistic headmaster who wielded the firm rod of authority over the audience as he sang the pre-punk The Hard Way. This show required the band to dress up as schoolboys, complete with short trousers and caps. The female backup singers were dressed in skimpy gym slips and cavorted around the stage with whips and bamboo to beat the naughty schoolboys if they misbehaved. The climactic moment came when the headmaster humiliated a prostrate schoolboy in front of the entire audience. Needless to say, both the headmaster and the schoolboy were both played by me. Let's hear the opening track, and we will get to it. From the album Schoolboys in Disgrace, this song is called School Days.
If ever you think about the happiest days of your life, cast back your mind for a while and remember the time when you were a child. Don't think of things that make you sad, just remember all the good times that you had. Happy days, full of flaming dunes and summer holidays. Or do you remember those stormy Novembers as we walked in the wind and the rain? School days were such happy days. Far away, I remember, and I'll always treasure school days. Were the happiest days of your life, but we never appreciate the good times we have until it's too late. I miss all the acquaintances we made, and I'd go back if I could only find a way. School days were the happiest days, though at the time they filled me with despair. We only remember what we choose to remember. As a schoolboy, I loathed regulations and rules. I hated my textbooks and my school uniform, 'cause it made me conform, and teachers were always disobeyed. But I'd go back if I could only find a way. School days were the happiest days, now they seem so far away. I remember, and I'll always treasure school days. Were the happiest days of your life, but we never appreciate good times we have until it's too late. Now I wish I had the strength, and I'd go back if I could only find a way. Oh, school days.
The song that sets up what is now the fourth consecutive theme album by the Kinks. If you count, of course, the series from Preservation, Acts 1 and 2, followed by Soap Opera, which we covered last week, and now Schoolboys in Disgrace, another album where every song more or less conveys a theme. On the back cover liner notes, it tells the story like this. Once upon a time, there was a naughty little schoolboy. He and his gang were always playing tricks on the teachers and bullying other children in the school. One day he got himself into very serious trouble with a naughty schoolgirl, and he was sent to the headmaster, who decided to disgrace the naughty boy and his gang in front of the whole school. After this punishment, the boy turned into a hard and bitter character. Perhaps it was not the punishment that changed him, but the fact that he realized people in authority would always be there to kick him down, and the establishment would always put him in his place. He knew that he could not change the past, but he vowed that in the future he would always get what he wanted. The naughty little boy grew up. into Mr. Flash.
No way.
So this is Dave tying this in to his earlier preservation theme, right? It's just, he was just so obsessed with trying to make everything fit together. So this is essentially a prequel to the preservation series.
Here's wow.
The next track then from Schoolboys in Disgrace. This is called Jack the Idiot Dunce.
Who's the fool with the cross-eyed stare, the turned-up nose and moronic glare? Who's that simpleton standing over there?
Jack, Jack, the idiot dunce.
Who's that dumb-looking freckle-faced runt?
Jack, Jack, the idiot dunce.
He walks like his feet on back to front.
Jack, Jack, the idiot dunce.
When he waddles down the street, he looks kind of queer.
Jack, Jack, the idiot dunce.
'Cause he got two left feet, taxi door ears.
Jack, Jack, the idiot dunce.
And when we laugh at the clothes he wears, Jack just smiles 'cause he don't care. He's always the bottom of the class.
Jack, Jack, the idiot dunce.
Who's a fool, who's a fool, who's a fool in an ass.
Jack, Jack, the idiot dunce.
When we take examinations, he never gets a pass.
Jack, Jack, the idiot dunce.
And we all put him down, but he can't be fast.
Jack, Jack, the idiot dunce.
We ridicule him and punch him around, but Jack just laughs and stands his ground.
Let out a yell and no one replied. frustration and torment tore him inside. Then he fell to the ground and he cried and he cried. But then education saved the day. He learned to speak and communicate. Education saved the day. He thanked God for the friends he made. Cause everybody needs an education. Everybody needs an education. Black skin, red skin, yellow or white. Everybody needs to read and write. Everybody needs an education.
Education.
All the little people need
education.
Eskimo.
Certainly the longest track.
Yes.
On the album Schoolboys in Disgrace. It's called Education. Playing through the entire album in this show. Maybe have some room for some extra tracks too if things go well. I can understand why Dave in particular thought that this album was great, because he has much more room to stretch out on this album than he did on the previous records. There's a lot of lead guitar work, and I think that made him happy. Here's what he has to say about it. This is Dave's own words. After touring with Soap Opera, the previous album, I felt much more confident about myself and my playing. We hired a new engineer at Conk, which was the recording studio that they had built for themselves, and he seemed to fit in perfectly. His name was Roger Wake. He was sensitive and knew how to record the band. Roger's first project with us was the album, Schoolboys in Disgrace. In my view, it was a fabulous little album, although underrated at the time. The concept was drawn mainly from Ray's and my experiences at school. Ray's observations and feelings about education and Sue's and my expulsion from school were all blended together with Ray's preoccupation with the character of Mr. Flash from the Preservation albums. Now, what Dave's talking about there is like when he actually got his girlfriend pregnant, then it ended up getting them both expelled, and then she was moved away, and he was forced to stay away from her, so he never really got to know her or the child. That was kind of like bothered him.
Understandably.
Right. Roger Wake did a great job in the studio. He really knew how to record guitars and vocals and had a good overall sense of sonic placement. The band also played really well. The song First Time We Fall in Love is a beautiful track, if you ignore the Elvis and doo-wop parodies and the showy arrangement. That's a lot to ignore, Dave. It's actually has a sweet verse a la Mike Love, Beach Boys, which is really moving, despite the fact that it's clothed in humor. Here, then, let's play that track, The First Time We Fall in Love.
How well I remember my very first love affair. Those juvenile fantasies and innocent dreams we shared. But we're too blind to realize that we're totally unprepared. For the first time we always treasure the first time we fall in love. Those other romances come and go, but we cherish the memory of the first time we fall in love.
First love can be such a strain.
been a pleasant enough song called The First Time We Fall in Love from the album Schoolboys in Disgrace. But I think that song also, in a sense, does a great job of representing exactly what is wrong with this album. And in fact, what's wrong with this entire era of the Kinks' output when they were doing these theme albums. The song is set up to convey a story, but the story in this sense, and in any of the instances really, whether it's Preservation or soap opera or this album, never really opens up like a full story. It's a song that takes a snapshot of a moment, but you know that there's a lot more that would be going on. If you saw it live, I it would have to be fleshed out.
So maybe he should make it into a musical, as in a Broadway play.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I can read this right now. this is Ray's opinion, his own words here. Theatrical insiders who came to the show said that had Schoolboys in Disgrace run on Broadway, it would have been nominated for and undoubtedly would have won a Tony Award. The problem with these shows was that while they contained some of my favorite Kink songs of the period, including No More Looking Back and A Face in the Crowd, the songs were completely overshadowed by the insanity of the shows themselves. Even though the albums contained key radio tracks and gave us top 40 status, they didn't contain the old-style standalone pop hit singles that we'd had with Reprise. The music industry still wanted us to give them three-minute singles, while I wanted to give them three-hour rock operas. It was also significant that the band was playing more tightly than ever during this period, as opposed to the sloppy drunken antics we displayed during the Muswell Hillbillies era, when many shows degenerated into glorified booze fests. Our audience grew with us as our cult status grew, and our live shows became so strong that when we were put on to support other bands, we gained a reputation as being impossible to follow. So there, I mean, this stuff was certainly working for them live, but now what we're left with is essentially the souvenir of the live shows, these albums that don't really fit into anything, and they seem out of place, and they seem to me like they're not fully formed. And worse, a song like The First Time We Fall in Love sounds highly stylized. Like, oh, let's do a doo-wop style song with lots of harmonies to convey the point. So it's like clever, and which takes away from like the real beauty of Ray's writing, because up until this point, up until this era anyway, I should say, Ray's writing seemed to be incredibly instinctive, and he wasn't trying to force himself into any specific predetermined style. But here in this instance, that seems to be what he's doing a little bit too much of. And he mentioned singles. There was one on this album, not a hit, but this is the song that was extracted from the album with the intention of it perhaps being so. Poor RCA Records. This is, you know, they, after all that time that they had with their previous label, they moved to RCA and they give them, after Lola, they give them these albums. And it was an impossible task for them to try to market these things and have hits with them. They end up leaving RCA after this album, and we'll pick that story up next week. But nevertheless, here is the hit single from the album Schoolboys in Disgrace. This is called I'm in Disgrace.
The first time that I saw you, you were the lady of my dreams. The very next time I had to make you mine, and I treated you like a queen. The third time that I saw you, you treated me with such distaste. Now I wish I'd never seen your face.
Because I fell for your pretty face, I'm in.
again, I mean, the song works fine, but my problem, I keep going back to like the whole idea of the, like the conceptual idea of what's going on here gets in the way of the ability to appreciate it at face value. Like, for example, you put out a single called I'm in Disgrace. How is that? You know, that's just not the type of thing that people are going to rally around and say, great 45. I just heard the single. It's called I'm in Disgrace. I love it. You know, it just wouldn't work as a title, you know?
Probably not.
Just saying.
You might be being a little rough on them, though.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, whatever did happen, after this album came out, Clive Davies gave them a good talking to.
Oh, dear.
And that's
you don't want Clive to give you a talking to.
Well, that was like when they were changing labels, and they were going to his label, Arista, which we'll be talking about next week. But Clive was like, you know, no more of these. But how about we have some hits? I like hits. I like, and that's really, you know, that's Clive. I mean, his genius is really the simplest type of genius in the world. I am a record company executive. What I want to do is make money here. The way I make money is by generating hits. So I need you to write them for me. And then I can release them. And I can sell, records. I mean, it's the simplest concept in the world.
Very simple.
A lot of the other labels weren't talking to the Kinks like that. RCA apparently was not, with these albums coming on and on and on the way that they were. Well, I'm in Disgrace, as I said, failed as a single. But nevertheless, I mean, the band seems to love the material on the record. This is Dave Davies, brother Dave, who, by the way, that song I'm in Disgrace was pretty much certainly written about his own experience in school. Like I said, getting his girlfriend pregnant and such went on with I'm in Disgrace. But here's Dave as he talks about the next track. He goes, I love the track Headmaster. The chorus after the guitar solo is pure magic. So full of emotion, regret, and anger. It's poignant. All the bittersweet memories of that time came flooding back. All right, then, here is Headmaster.
Headmaster, this is my confession. This time you won't be overjoyed. I've destroyed what little faith you had in me. I've been such a naughty boy. Headmaster, I am at your mercy. I've been such a little fool. I've dishonored one who trusted me. I have broken all the rules. I've been with those naughty little girls again. Now those naughty little girls are gonna put me to shame. I wish that I'd been born with a little more sense. This time it's a serious offense.
Please help!
But of course, they do live on stage make him take his trousers down.
Oh, dear. Wow. They were really pushing the envelope, weren't they?
Just the way that it went. Now, you can, you know, as I said, the band you can see is quite fond of this album. The one song that they don't mention, the song, had anybody asked me, I would have had a very different choice for what would have been considered as a hit single. But then again, you know, it's quite understandable why nobody would have asked me. I was 16 years old when this album came out. You should never ask a 16-year-old's opinion about almost anything, especially a smart ass like me in 1975 when this album was out. But I will stand by my opinion nonetheless that this next song is the song that should have been the single from the album, because I think, and to my mind, it's the song that sounds the most like a classic Kinks song. It's called The Hard Way.
Boys like you were born to waste. You never listen to a word I say. And if you think you hear the mess around, you're making a big mistake. Because you're going to find out the hard way.
Show is American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3. I'm Tom Ryan with my lovely wife and co-host Heidi Morales Ryan here as well. We do this every Wednesday and Friday for an hour, and we keep all of these shows, a record of each of them, so that you have access to them. If you're interested in our series, like the How Music Changed series is so deep that when we do all these shows in a row, I do them with the hope that people feel like they want to get the sense of continuity that they offer. Like if you like show number 28, like this one is for the Kinks, you might say, you know, I want to hear this series. I want to see how this band developed. Well, there are now 28 hours of shows dedicated to the music of the Kinks available on our website. So you could hear that very easily. If you want the Beatles, well, I believe there's over 50 hours that we did covering that. If you want Motown, forget it. We'll ruin your life. We've got, I don't even remember how many hours we've got dedicated to Motown. We played every single A-side that the label ever released. And then, let's see, I mean, my gosh, we've got Marvin Gaye, we've got the Beach Boys, we've got Bob Dylan, we've got James Brown.
And you haven't even gone back in the Wayback Machine.
And that's without going all the way back to our series on the blues, on New Orleans jazz, on Louis Armstrong and the like. There's a lot there, an awful lot there. So if you check it out. The website is simple. It's AmericanHitNetwork.com. And I'm sure once you go there, you'll figure out how to navigate it. It's quite easy. Or if you just search on any search engine, just search for American Hit Radio. It'll pop right up. And check it out. If the Kinks series is the thing that's tickling your fancy, you go there right now. You're going to see show number 27, last week's show, sitting on the homepage. And if you say click on the See More Shows button, you're going to see the other 26 that preceded that. And then you can go further back and see the series before that and before that. And it goes on and on and on. So you
it's
get
like
it.
A leapfrog.
Exactly. Meanwhile, though, since we're covering this theme record, let's keep moving on with the album Schoolboys in Disgrace. The next track is called The Last Assembly.
As I walked to the last assembly, there were tears in the back of my eyes, and I saw all my friends all around me. They were there to wish me goodbye. As I stood in a line with my comrades, I felt such a feeling of pride, and I forgot all the grief and the hatred inside as we sang for the very last time. Gather round, gather round, everybody, gather round, come and join our last assembly. Let us smile, wipe away all the frown. Gather round, gather.
So now we are approaching not just the end of the album, but the end of an entire era in the band's career. The whole phase of the Kinks ends as this album ends, because it does mark the end of their theme albums. So let's just let it end the way, in a rather ironic way, with a song called No More Looking Back, and then the finale.
Thank you. I see thousands of faces before me. Then I see a face that I used to know long ago in my life story. It starts me thinking about the things you said, for your image is still inside me. The past is gone, but in my head, you're still walking along beside me. Is it something playing tricks with my eyes, or just an illusion deceiving you? Or is it someone in a disguise, or visions of things that used to be? But lately I've been going to all the places that knew. I just, when I think that I'm free of you, I keep seeing the things that remind me of you. And just when I think you're out of my head, I hear a song that you sang, I see a book that you read. And you're in every bar, you're in every cafe, you're driving every car, I see you every day. But you're not really there, cause you belong.
And as that era of the band's history fades into the background, we're going to we'll end the show with what I think you really need to get a feeling for what it was like, because I think the live shows convey more than the albums do from this era, and unfortunately there's not all that much evidence of it. So here is a track called Ordinary People that was actually from the album Soap Opera. Take care, folks. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the weekend.
Don't know.